What is happening in heaven as the angels are releasing the winds of strife? What is happening in heaven? What does Revelation 7 say? Let's open our Bibles. See, now we're getting to the real reason that we need to get serious about things. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. What is happening during this last few months of Earth's history? There's a sealing process going on. Now all of the Sunday law, the economics, and everything I shared with you kind of drift into insignificance, because there's something much, much bigger happening behind the scenes. God is looking at the Seventh-day Adventist Church because they keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus. He's looking among them to find out anybody who's willing to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That's really it. Are you willing to follow the Lamb? Oh, in heaven I want to follow. No, you got to follow in here first. Nobody's going to follow the Lamb in heaven until you learn how to follow here first. Correct? Now, what does sealing mean? Some people will say, well, I've read that it means that you're sealed and until you perfectly reflect the character of God. Good. And there's another place that says, so deeply rooted in truth that you cannot be moved. You know that we don't really know. We're not really deeply that rooted, you know that? Some of us don't even know exactly how to prove what we believe. I don't. There's so much for me to learn, and every time I hear a sermon that presents the truth, and I say, you know what? I didn't know that. I didn't know all of that. I need to study more. I need to memorize more. Don't you feel that way? None of us can say, excuse me, I'm a perfect defender of the truth. Put me in front of the Sanhedrin, right? Right? None of us could be in that position, right? Bring on the Vatican. I'll defend truth, huh? Okay. So we have a lot to learn. So we got some serious study to do. We got to stop watching TV and listening to worldly music and listening to reading things, and we better start some serious brain feeding.
Amen.
In fact, I should tell you the story because it proves something. Because I was traveling down to Miami, I was sitting next to a Mexican. We got to talking. He asked me what I did. I'm a missionary. I asked him what he did. He said, I'm a witch. I'm a warlock. He said, I make my living by people pay me. I do whatever they want. I cast spells on people. Sometimes they want a woman. A man will come to me. If I want that woman, she belongs to somebody else. She's a wife. Doesn't matter. Give me the money. Boom. I have that home broken apart. That woman belongs to him. I can do it 100% of the time. In fact, he told me, I can take your wife away from you anytime I want and give them to anybody I wish. And I said, no, you can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Nope, sorry. Yes, I can. I've done it to many Christians. Who do you think you are? I'm somebody you can't touch. And he went on and said, well, there are some people I can't touch. Let me ask you some questions. Are all your sins forgiven? Yes. Do you have any secret sins that you're in the closet? They're all forgiven. Okay. Do you watch soap operas? No. Do you read novels? No. Do you memorize the scripture? Yes. Do you listen to worldly music? No. Okay, I can't touch you. But he said, 99% of Christians, they always have something. He said, most Christians look at soap operas. If you look at soap operas, I got you, you're mine. Interesting, huh? He said, any Christian that watches soap operas voluntarily opens the door for influence and my spirits can get in. And I can break apart that home, I can harass you, I can make you miserable, I can take away your wife and give her to anybody I want. This is very interesting. So it means we can't play with worldly music or anything. If you're planning on being sealed, you've got to cut off all sources. In your house, if you have anything that belongs to the devil, you've got to get it out of there. The devil has rights too. I stay in a lot of pastors' homes, and their homes are filled with all kinds of worldly videos. Every type of adultery, every type of filthy language, every type of violence is on those videos. It's the latest thing. You watch the latest movies, you're dead meat. Most pastors will not remain Seventh-day Adventists. Most Seventh-day Adventists will not remain Seventh-day Adventists. We're talking about a feeling process in which very few people are left. Now, Sister White mentioned not 1 in 20 are ready, right? That was a long time ago when things were good. I've been preaching, by the way, that probably not 1 in 100. I've been preaching that for some time because based on the Gideon principle, 32,000 people showed up, 300 people stayed. That's little less than 1%. But God tells us something clearly there. Even if 1% is all he has, it's enough to go home.
Yeah.
And I was saying, we have 15 million Adventists. One little slightly less than 1% is 144,000. I was satisfied. At least if God can get us 144,000. But you know what? I've become convinced that that is an exaggerated number, 1%. Have you all, somebody shared with me, a friend of mine shared with me something, and I was deeply blessed by it. There is a website called forhispeople.com. Have you all read it? The number forhispeople.com. I read all of it, and I said, well, there's an Adventist elder that's been receiving some dreams. I did not see anything that was non-scriptural, so I sent it to my dad. My dad's a very careful, systematic theologian. That's what he majored in seminary, systematic theology. And my dad is, I see the global picture. My dad always sees all the details. So I sent it to him. His reaction was, I don't know if this is for all the church or not, but certainly I don't see. But I don't think he read all of them. And then I shared it with another pastor friend of mine. He couldn't find anything. And then I put a little link on one of my emails encouraging people just to kind of read through it. And I got four emails back out of all the thousands I sent out. I got four emails saying that there was a couple of questions on one particular point that they had. And I did not quite see it that way because I did not see it. It involved responsibility and tithing. They felt like it meant do not return a tithe. I said, no. God is expecting you to be responsible always in returning your tithe. But I have to admit with the tone of the dream that there are some places I would not return my tithing to. I would choose another church or another conference because I do know that there's some areas that are in total rebellion with God. There is. There are some pastors, there are some administrators that anything that even apparently smells like Adventist, they're hostile to it. Music, traditional mission, prophecy, Daniel the Revelation, spirit of prophecy, they're against it, 100%. And so I said, it would be hard for me to be a member of that church. I would move to another church and return my tithing in a different church. But that does not excuse you from returning your tithing to the church, you understand? Whereas they thought, maybe he's encouraging not returning a tithing. I said, no. He encourages responsibility in the returning of tithing to the storehouse. God has a storehouse. Return it responsibly. And you're not in their freedom not to return it. Anyway, that one point was not something I was... But there was a pastor friend of mine that wrote to him and said, I encourage you to ask God to take these dreams away from you. And I encourage you to tell the angel who comes to you to leave. Do not ever talk to him again. Well, I didn't think that was appropriate. Some other people encouraged him differently. They told him, 1 John says, test the spirits. If they are of God, if the spirits will not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it is not of God. So the very last dream he got on April, mid-April of mid-April last month, early April this month, isn't it? We're still in April, yeah. It was exactly that. I don't know if he read it or not, but the angel that was leading him went through the whole great controversy. Shh, I saw. And when it gets to the end, the divinity of Jesus completely confirmed. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He is the Son of God. From the very beginning, he's been God all the way through. And there can be no doubt that if that test of 1 John is applied, there can be no doubt that those are of God. Now, of course, we're all scared of such a thing. And I'm always thinking, Lord, I'm trembling. Do I want to be part? What if there's something doubt? And you know what? Same thing happened to Jesus. You know that when Jesus was here, do you know how much doubt you cast about Jesus? How could you know if Jesus was the Messiah or not? All you could do is compare the teachings with Scripture. How can you tell us something is of God? If it's not according to the law and the prophets, there is no light in them. But what if it is according to the law and the prophets? Huh? You have a hard decision to make. So, I had a couple of friends of mine yesterday, Rita. One of them came to me and said, well, I have some doubts. I said, read the last one. Read the last one, and he writes in on the spot. A very dedicated, consecrated missionary and a biblical teacher. He read the last one, and he said, I have no more to say. It is of God. Now, I'll leave to you to decide, in your experience, what you see, but I'm convinced. In any case, in one of his dreams, I'm sharing this because my life has had reform because I read those dreams. There's some things that I'm growing spiritually and changing my whole life because of that. And I would expect, if it's from God, it would bring that response, right? It would bring reform in our lives and preparation. In one little valley, beautiful valley, there was 800 little blackbirds. And the angel took him to that valley and said, great creator, we are ready to watch. And all of a sudden, all 800 blackbirds started swarming, and their job, the angel said, was to climb out of the valley and go above the valley. Well, the birds started flying, climbing higher and higher. And then he noticed some birds just got tired and fluttered back down to the valley floor. Other birds started getting jealous of the other birds and started pushing them down, trying to get higher than they were. Have you ever met people like that? Right. Not higher than me, you know. Whatever, we're trying to climb together, but I'm going to be, my job is to put you down. Some birds spent their time smelling all the flowers and looking at the beautiful foliage. Other birds actually settled into the trees, those beautiful trees on the side of the valley walls, and built their nests, nice houses in these beautiful country places on this earth. Have you ever heard of people like that? Where it's such a beautiful place to live still in parts of Kentucky, parts of Illinois, South America, Thailand, beautiful little places tucked away, Venezuela, near the waterfalls, mountains. Wouldn't you just love to have a beautiful home and settle there for the rest of your life? Sometimes I fly over areas and I go, oh, I could live there for the rest. Just a little bend in that river with a big waterfall falling there, a big mountain. Just leave me there for the rest of my life. Doesn't this world have beautiful places? Yeah. Some of those birds built their nests in those beautiful places. And finally, the angel said, I want you to point out, look what's left. One bird alone kept climbing and climbing and climbing. The angel said, look at the bird. And the man said, he looks very tired. And the angel said, he is very tired. But notice he never takes his eyes off of the goal. Kept climbing higher and higher. And finally, that one bird and that one bird alone made it out of the valley. The angel said, note that only one in 800 made it out of the valley. This shook me to my very roots. Because I have been preaching that all we need is one in 100. And we're going home. What if that really expresses the reality of the situation? One in 800. Today we have a coming up on 17 million Adventists. Let me just do a quick calculation here. 17 million divided by 800. 21,250. Where in the world is God going to find 144? You know what I believe? I believe there's a great awakening taking place right now.
Amen.
And I believe God is going to find His people. But at this point, if the world were to close right now, God would not have completed the evidence He needs. Now, can you be saved, by the way? Can you be saved without being a part of the 144,000? Yeah. Yeah, you can. Did Moses go to heaven after he died? Moses was disobedient. Did he go to heaven? Yes. Did God want him to be like Elijah? Yes. But he didn't make it for disobedience. Do you think there's Seventh-day Adventists that know better but aren't living all the life that they have, but do you think they might go to heaven? They might. But don't you think God is needing people to live for Him rather than to die for Him today? So if this expresses reality, and if these are of God, it does express reality, I'm not saying it'll be all those that will be saved. I think the biggest problem we have in the great controversy right now is enough people to be sealed. God is not playing games, but he cannot come. Literally, God cannot come till he has the evidence he needs to close the great controversy. Can you see why the devil is fighting so hard to keep us asleep? Sister White says, let me just, page 78, if I recall correctly. 81. What shall I say to arouse the remnant of God? I was shown that dreadful scenes are before us, and yet Satan and his angels are bringing all their powers to bear upon God's people. He knows that if they sleep a little longer, he is sure of them, for their destruction is certain. Sleeping a little longer. I guess the mic's here. Blowing, die soft, breezes. Sleep a little longer, my children. A little longer. A little longer. Why? Because he's closing the trap. The trap door is closing and closing and closing. But if at the last moment, just before it closes, what happens if the school of fish swim out through the hole, huh? Wouldn't this be terrible for Satan? What if God awakens his people in the last few months of Earth's history? You see what's happening? We've been sleeping too long. Right before our very eyes, possibly the final pope comes to America. Now, this is not any pope, you understand. He's called, his nickname was the Rottweiler of the Vatican, right? You knew that, right? Why was he called the Rottweiler? He was the attack dog. He was the head of the chief inquisitor. He was the one that threw theologians out if they didn't behave. He's the one that's willing to torture and kill people if they don't obey. The review, not the review, the Newsweek, and interviewed him right after he got elected, and they said, they called him Your Holiness, but they said, you realize that your philosophy that you've been following these years is going to bring great suffering on the world. You know what the answer was? So be it. Suffering brings you closer to God. This guy has no problem executing anybody who's a dissident. No problem. And he comes to America, they've kind of redone his image. He was known as the Rottweiler, and they've been trying to pass off the image of God's love and peace and kindness, huh? They've done a good job remaking his image, haven't they? He says,
America has always been a nation of hope.
Whoa. So we come in, he addresses the Americans, and we all receive him. At this very moment when prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes, and we all say, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Go back to sleep. Now, this is a great controversy, brothers and sisters. Either something is happening or it isn't happening. Would you like to wait for another 10 years and see what happens? Would you like to wait for 5 more years? Why don't you wait for 2 more years, see what happens? Don't get busy. Don't get serious about religious things. Don't put up your spiritual life, number one. Just keep coming to church and pay your tithing and just keep coming to church every Sabbath and keep working and do overtime shift at the hospital. Don't worry about it. We'll find that in a couple years. Is that what you want to hear? Can you understand the seriousness of the situation?
No.
The devil knows if you sleep a little longer, not a long time longer, a little longer. This is happening right before us. It's about done, and a sudden catastrophe will wake it up. Sister White says there will be a sudden catastrophe. I believe the National Assembly Law is about to happen sometime soon, and I believe it's going to happen unperceived, and I believe national ruin will rapidly follow after that, and God's judgment will follow even immediately after that. And by the time Adventists wake up, I'm sorry, the sealing process is finished. Adventists who knew the truth and did not live it will not have a chance. They will now go to those that are non-Adventists and didn't know any better. But God is, now the door is open. And God is asking us, our institutions, educational, medical, administrative, whatever it is, should be leveraged. Number one, reach people, reach people, reach people. There should be a tone. Anybody who comes into our hospital here should immediately be in danger of getting to know Jesus Christ. They should be at a high risk. Don't go to that hospital, because if you go there, something is going to happen spiritually. You understand? This is why we have hospitals, correct? What about schools? Don't get an education there, because if you do, you might end up becoming a Seventh-day Adventist missionary. That's the only reason we have schools. And if we don't fulfill that mission, guess what? God is going to do it elsewhere. He's going to find other people to do it. And we will lose our crown. Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, lest no man, and let no man take your crown. Well, I'm not going to let anybody take my crown. I'll tell you what, I'm going to hang on to it. Well, don't you have a crown?
Yes.
By the way, it fits your head, you know. And did you know that your head's going to grow over the years? Did you know that? Did you know in heaven we're going to grow up to the full stature that we were supposed to be?
Yeah.
Huh? Adam's about twice as tall as we are, right? And we're going to grow up to that stature of what we were supposed to be in our primeval days or whatever it was. I know I call it primeval, I don't know, but anyway. Prime good days. When we were, before sin took a toll on our bodies. We're going to grow up to that stature, and our crown's going to have to grow too. God prepared this thing for us to grow into His stature and ideal that He had for us, and with time it will. Little babies today are not going to grow up to be adults. Little children are not going to grow up to be adults. They're going to have to grow up in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful idea? Now, don't be surprised if little children are laid to rest. And don't be surprised if some of our elderly will be laid to rest. This is part of God's plan to prepare people and for the last time, because they won't make it through the end. So if little children are laid to rest, just know that God is preserving them to wake up for you and hand to you back at the resurrection. Let's develop the mindset. It's time to go home. The bridegroom is coming. Let us go forth to meet him. Okay? So there, I could go on for several more hours. Let me just close with this one, and then we'll have some questions and answers, and then it'll be time to light out for me. Page 77. Christian service. The chapter entitled Arousement. Let the gospel message ring throughout our churches, summoning everyone to universal action. Does that sound what we heard today? Does that sound like that? It should ring throughout our churches and summon everyone to what kind of action? Universal. How many? Everybody. Universal action. Let church members have increased faith, gaining zeal from their unseen heavenly allies. Gain zeal from a knowledge of their exhaustless resources. How much money? How much resources? Exhaustless. Can we get the job done? Yes. Can we have television networks in every country? Yes. Can we buy up all the media we need to finish the work? Yes. Can we go forth without any food or money? Yes. You understand? God has exhaustless resources from a knowledge of the greatness of the enterprise in which they're involved. Don't you want to be part of a big work? You're invited. A knowledge of the greatness of the enterprise and from the power of their leader. Those who place themselves under the control of God to be led and guided by Him will capture the steady tread of events as He ordains them to take place. You will understand what is happening if you are under the control of God, to be led and guided by Him. If everything you do is with God's permission and His direction, you will understand the events of what is happening. It says, putting on, inspired with the spirit of Him who gave His life for the life of the world, they will no longer stand still in impotence, pointing to what they cannot do. We've done that so long. Can do, no longer. Instead, they will put on the armor of heaven and go forth to the warfare, willing to do and to bear for God, knowing that His omnipotence will provide for their need. I love that doing and daring for God. You know what doing means? Get the job done. I don't care what excuses, just get it done. What does daring mean? It means it can't be done, but I'm going to do it anyway. Right? It's impossible, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I don't have the money. It doesn't matter. There's too much opposition. It doesn't matter. The phrase, by the way, once you give yourself totally to God and to be led and guided, there'll be some people that don't understand you. Maybe your family, maybe some of your friends, maybe some of your leaders. It happens every time. In fact, in Romanian, there's a phrase that says, the skin of an enemy with the skin of a man with no enemies is not worth 2 cents. Interesting phrase, huh? If you're gonna get up and change the world, guess what? You're gonna have some very powerful enemies. Anybody who does anything worth doing gets opposition. Now, you don't want to cause opposition because you have a rough character, you're discourteous to people, or you hurt other people. That's the wrong type of opposition to have. But if you get opposition because you're doing the right thing, it's okay, right? It's normal. Did Jesus have opposition? In fact, if He came back again today, would He have some? The bigger your enemies, the greater your influence. It's the other way around. The greater your influence, the bigger your enemies. Okay? So don't be surprised if you make a step for God and all of a sudden people go, what? Nah, shh. And then you say, no, I'm going to give everything to God. I'm going to go all the way with God. Oh, you're radical. No. And then all of a sudden, your friends that were your friends aren't your friends anymore. This is normal. Why? That's, it's called the shaking process. A straight message brings people into opposition to the message, and then a shaking shaking takes place. When God says reform all the way, everything on the altar, everything, and you say no, you get more and more hostile to the idea of any, even the thought of giving up everything. So those who are giving up everything are like a discipline to you. You look at other people who gave up everything and they come back shining, the Lord provided for us, and you go, I don't want to even hear it, right? But it happens very subtly, and it keeps going worse and worse. So I want you to know that it's very important that the decisions you made today, that you follow through on them tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And one thing the devil does, he starts getting you to fight each other. Does this church ever have different conflicts? Every little church does. The devil's an expert. Keep them so occupied in internal affairs, they can't do war on the outside. Right? It happens all the time. So therefore, don't you think it would be a good tact to say, you know what? From now on, no matter what people do to them, I'm just going to forgive them. Just forget it. You know where it comes from. It's not that person. It's not Susie who did it to me. It's not Joe who stepped on my toe. They didn't mean it. It was the devil who was trying to get me preoccupied. Just forget it. I forgive you. If everybody forgave each other and let's get on with the business, we could start fighting the enemy. But little issues come up and we spend so much energy and so much time on little issues. The community laughs at the little Seventh-day Adventist church because they're always dealing with internal issues. I don't know, of course, the issues. I'm just saying that I know that every church has them. It's time we get over them. It's time we all get together and make some strategic plans to go out and do community service and become known as the most loving church in Manchester. It's time that it reflects in the work over there. Some of you that have responsibilities, start exercising your influence and changing things so that that hospital becomes the most loving hospital in Eastern Kentucky. And everybody wants to come to the hospital, man. Go to Manchester. They'll take care of you. They're just like your mommy. You understand? And if you don't have money, they'll still take care of you because they do it because they love God. They said, but how can we ever pay our bills? You know what? Jesus never tried to do business to take care of his bills, yet all his needs were paid for and his disciples were paid for. And like Guam, a year later, after opening three clinics to the community, the bank, I don't know how to the third blood. They don't think their horns and he just is loving them to death. Probably it's this way. There's a book Mission Pilot. Some of you have the book Mission Pilot? I'm sorry that I didn't have any free copies to bring. I ran out of them. I usually bring some. If you want a free copy, you can download it off our webpage, gospelministry.org. You can just download the book, and Mission Miracles is a sequel. But do you know that I don't even own the rights for Mission Pilot and Mission Miracles? I own the foreign language rights. Spanish. It's been translated into 10 languages. Spanish, Chinese, Korean, Portuguese, French, German, all of that. I own those rights, and we give them away everywhere. But I do not own the rights for English. So legally, every time you go, I put that on my webpage, and you download it, it's an illegal copy. Pacific Press owns the rights. And Pacific Press never gives me a problem because they say your sales on your book after all these years are higher than some newly published books. You're selling them like crazy. And I said, you know why? Because I give away so many copies. The more you read the electronic copy, the more you want to buy a copy off of the ABC. And so I give them away all over the world, and I just told Pacific Press, leave me alone. I'm going to give away the book, and you just sell the ones that buy. And they say, the sales are good. We won't bother you, David. Just keep doing what you're doing. In fact, you know the ten set of books called Bible Stories, the 10 blue books, Bible History, whatever, Bible Stories, right? By Maxwell. We came up with an idea in Bolivia. Why don't we read through the books on television? Like, here's Aunt Carol or Aunt Betty reading the book. Hi, children. Today we're going to read chapter 15 of book number 2, the story of Esther, right? And they just sit in front of the camera, they read it, and we put different pictures on, we scan the things, and little children are listening. A great little story, right? Did you like sitting on your mother's lap when she read you stories? Well, don't you think people on TV would like to sit there and listen to some simple little program like that? But we decided to do that. So I had my team call Pacific Press. We'd like to record the video on the books reading on television. Can we do that? Absolutely not. So I said, you guys, you all don't know how to do anything. Good night. Don't you know how to... Let me do it. Pick up the book. Hello. This time I'm going to talk to the Inter-American Publishing Association. They have co-writes. Hello, this is Inter-American Division Publishing Association? Yes. This is David Gates. Oh, hello, Pastor Gates. How are you doing? Yes, I'd like to talk to the person in charge about some books. Sure, just a minute. They connected me to the director. Okay. Hi, Pastor Gates. How are you doing? I have a question. We just love those books that you have so much. We want to help you sell more books. We're planning on doing a series of short videos featuring those books. And at the end, we'll put a web page where people can go buy them. Would you approve for us doing advertising for your book? Oh, what a wonderful idea. All right, go ahead. You think they'll sell more books? Oh, absolutely. But if you just say, can we use it? No, we're not giving anything away. So we have to understand our Adventist mentality is flawed. If we have something to gain from it, we like it. But you know what? This is a flawed mentality. You can't copyright sermons. You can't copyright God's music. And in reality, there's nothing wrong with a copyright, so nobody does it. But you know what? If somebody copies your DVDs or copies your book or does something, that's okay. Why? That's the whole purpose we made them. I was sitting at the International Christian Visual Media. All of the Christian media producers in North America. All the who's who, from Billy Graham to the Left Behind Theory. I meet with them once a year. I'm a broadcaster, so I get to meet with them. I'm a member. I'm the only Adventist member. And you know what? I hear them stand up. They stand up and say, and these are all the guys that are multimillionaires. They make $30 million movies. Okay? No, they don't just make $30 million movies. On the last Left Behind series, this guy gave $30 million of tithing to Jerry Falwell on one movie. You know what I mean? $300 million. Okay. So I'm talking to these guys that make these movies. And I hear them stand up. Does it say, if somebody copies your video, don't worry about it. If somebody distributes it in another foreign country or some other place, don't worry about it. That's the reason we made it. The whole purpose is to get the word out. Good night. I wish I could bring my Adventist by the neck and stick them right there. Sit down and listen to the evangelicals. We're not in here for business. By the way, this hospital is not here for business either. We don't need Adventist hospitals that are in business. We need Adventist hospitals that are in ministry. And if we're going to be in business, we don't need them. I'm Associate ADRA Director for Venezuelan Union. I would like to say, we don't need ADRA if it's not going to lead people to Christ. It's not just about paving roads, and it's not about just distributing food, which is something we should do and help people. If it doesn't have a link to some kind of fulfilling the mission of the church, we don't need it. Let World Vision do it. Isn't that World Vision build churches all over the world? When was the last time ADRA built a church? We don't do that. This is a secular branch of the church. So I'll tell you what. In Venezuela, every program we do is linked to soul salvation. And if the funds that they're offering us don't allow us to do that, we just tell them we don't want your money. Oh, but couldn't you use a couple million dollars? Well, it's like putting a big engine. What if you're going in a boat in a circle and you put a bigger engine on it? Will you get there faster? You just go faster in a circle. I'm sorry. I'll get there with my canoe and paddle as long as I go the right direction. So therefore, I'll take some money from over there, a little bit over there. And even if big bucks is offered to me, I don't need it, thank you, because I have a direction I'm going and your money won't let me go in that direction. So we don't need address. We don't need Adventist hospital. We don't need Adventist school unless they fulfill the mission of the church. Okay? Now, that might sound like heresy to you, but it isn't. It happens to be called the true witness. That happens to be the truth. We don't need to waste time in business when we have a mission to accomplish. Is that correct? Does that sound like truth to you? Of course, we got used to getting used to the other, but you know what? Use your influence. Everything you do, make sure the mission is accomplished. Now, look at it from God's point of view. You think God is happy with hospitals and schools and churches that fulfill the mission and address? You think He's happy? And what could be better than God's pleasure? You know that God has ways of blessing financially for institutions that carry out the mission? No wonder we're closing a lot of hospitals. We don't need them anymore. Why are they in problem? Why do we sell out half of one of our hospitals to the Catholic Church in Colorado? Why? We're on business. It was a business deal. It doesn't matter if Catholic priests and Adventist pastors sit at the same table to run an Adventist hospital. It doesn't matter anymore, does it? No, it's a business. They might as well sell a whole hospital. Why even play the game? I don't know about that one. Well, but I'm saying half Adventist, half Catholic, like we did in Colorado. All I'm saying is, if you're mission-driven, you don't have to worry about the finances. God takes care of it. If you make every decision based on fulfilling the mission, even if it apparently was going to cost you, it doesn't cost you. I've discovered the secret. You never lose. If God is happy with what you're doing, you always win. And here's another little secret. I'll share two more secrets with you, because these are called trade secrets. I learned them by experience. Did you know right now that no matter what you do, nobody can stop you? Even if you're preaching the straight truth, nobody can stop you right now. The devil can roar, he can scream, he can do everything, but he's chained. The devil is chained right now. So no matter what you do to carry out to preach the truth, you cannot be stopped. I've learned that by experience. When the Pope was elected, I realized, man, we got a short time. We better start putting all our good sermons at prime time. I used to put the good sermons, the good ones, after midnight. An evangelical pastor called us and said, I know what you're doing. You're putting on the best sermons after midnight, but we get up with our elders and we still look at them. But after the Pope was elected, we put him on in prime time, 9 in the morning, 1 o'clock afternoon, to 8, 9 at night. The best sermons, the ones on prophecy that speak it straight. And immediately we got a reaction. There was a movement in South America to take us off the air, and in Bolivia specifically, the Catholic Church began to collect. By the way, you might think it's the Catholic Church against it, they're not. The nuns invited us to lunch. They said, your station is our favorite station. The Catholic Church, the Catholic members actually come in and give us offerings. The evangelicals, we're their favorite station. So we're not talking about the hostility of the viewers. We're talking about a hierarchy, right? They noticed the influence. So they started collecting 150,000 signatures to get us off the air. My director of programming called and said, David, we better change our programming. They're going to take us off the air. I said, so what? But David, we're going to go off the air. We got to be careful while we preach. No, we don't. Now's easier than tomorrow. Tomorrow's only going to be worse. And she told me about the 150,000 signatures. She said, within 2 weeks, they expect to be able to go to the government with a petition to take us off the air. I think that's God's problem, not our problem. Besides, so much of a headache. If we get closed, I can sleep better at night. And God knows how to keep us on the air if He wants to. I really don't want to do business unless God's protecting it anyhow. Why should I waste my time? I don't mind doing it straight. Let God protect me. Surround me with angels. I've been assaulted by gangs in Peru. My angel appeared by my side and pulled me out. I've been hijacked. I've been beaten with clubs. Excuse me. I'm used to walking in dangerous situations, but if God didn't save my life, I'm dead meat already. How many of us could say that if God hadn't protected us, we'd be dead already? Many of us, right? Therefore, we have nothing to fear in the future because God's already saved our hide so many times. Let Him save it again. Because we have to save it because we're doing the wrong thing. Not, we're not doing the wrong thing. So you know what happened? Just a few days short of the final petition to the government, they called elections I think they accelerated the elections. And they elected a communist government. And the communist government never even invited the Catholic Church to the inauguration. They grabbed all that stack of papers and they threw it out the door. We are protected by the communist government to keep on broadcasting the truth. So I want to tell you that the left is less dangerous than the right now. And in fact, another little insight. Did you know that Rome already owns America? They got the Supreme Court. 5 out of 9 judges are Catholic. They always vote as a bloc. Anything they want to do, they can do. The president will give them anything they want. They are ready to act in North America right now. Except they got a big problem. They got a problem with the left. In South America, they lost Venezuela, Bolivia, They're losing Chile. They already lost Brazil. They lost Ecuador. They lost Nicaragua. Right now, the majority of South America is going left, and Rome doesn't know what to do, because every time the left comes in, Rome is out. And they don't know what to do. They can't act in North America because the entire continent of South America is on the opposite side. So they've kind of put North America on hold, and now they've declared war on the left of South America. You know, during the Reformation days, while Martin Luther was preaching everywhere, did you know that God brought in the Turks to fight them? They were so occupied for 5 or 10 years fighting the Turks that the Reformation spread through all of Europe. And finally, when they got rid of that, they came back to focus on the Reformation, and they found it everywhere. Don't you think God knows how to play the game again? God is keeping Rome so busy with the left in South America that they don't have time to stop the Advent message. And I'm trying to tell you a secret. If you move right now, nobody can stop you. And no matter how big you think, it'll be successful. God will prosper our every single effort, Sister White says. God's word is a promise. This is your guide for small details on how to make decisions. And I'm making decisions that are so radical. They're so big, so impossible, and people just don't know how to do it. You know, I don't either. I finally just gave up. I'm just going to make the decision. God is the one finishing this work. Let him do it. But every institution, every decision, every school we have, every airplane we have, every medical work we have to be 100% mission-driven, or I want nothing to do with it. And if institutions decide to be mediocre, I feel sorry. Struggle. Make it survive if you can. It doesn't mean that much to God. God is trying to finish the work, and he's only focusing on institutions that are finishing the work. Now, God loves all of us, but God is wanting to finish. And I tell you, this hospital here has been here too long already. So you tell me Manchester hasn't even heard, all of them haven't heard everything yet? Something is wrong. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, we've got to wake up and do a better job. It's not that we've done a bad job. We just haven't done the job we were supposed to do. Now, has it been a good influence? Of course. I work here. My loyalty, my heart's here. But I run hospitals. I mean, I run clinics now, and I run medical aviation, and I run media centers, and we run schools, and I've run my lesson. 100% mission. I don't care if it looks like we're going to fail, and we never fail. It only grows bigger. So, here's another secret. You know what? None of our schools charge tuition. They're all free. We have 6 schools, and we're building 3 more this year. Nobody charges tuition. How much do the airplanes charge? Nothing. How much do the networks charge? Nothing. Isn't this interesting? Doesn't it save a lot of problems, charging tuition? You work your way through. The kids learn to work their way through. When there's something good on television that we want to put on the air, we don't charge the pastors. If somebody brings a program and says, I produced this program. How much does it cost? Let me look at it. This is good. Nothing. Right on the air. When I go to 3ABN to put this on, then they want to charge money to put something on. But you know, I talked to them, and they've kind of given in a little bit. I'm just saying, we Seventh-day Adventists are good Jews. We really are real Jews. We love money. We love to do business. In publishing, we love to sell things. My 2 daughters are coal porters in the Southern Union. My first daughter was a great salesman. Sold books. My second daughter, she called me a month into the program, crying. I can't sell books, Daddy. I'm not going to pay my tuition. It's horrible. What am I going to do? I said, did I hear you say sell books? Well, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? No. You got it all wrong. It has nothing to do with sales. Being a coal porter is about reaching people. I said, but don't have to sell books. No. The Holy Spirit's job does that. All you have to do is love people and make sure you take care of their needs. Well, what am I supposed to do then? Talk to them, pray with them, take some literature, give them literature, give them stuff, and forget about the sales. And if you don't sell a single book the entire summer, your tuition is already paid for. God has another way to solve it. Oh, Daddy, she said, this is wonderful. I didn't realize that. Thank you. So even if I don't sell anything, not a problem. No, not a problem. Don't even worry about it. Just meet the people's needs. She was number 2 in sales for the whole union. It's not about selling. It's not about charging. It's about reaching people. We've got to close if we're going to have time for questions and answers. But I would like to make another invitation. If you feel God is calling you into sacrificial ministry, that doesn't mean going anywhere. It could be here. It could be anywhere. But if God is calling you to sacrificial ministry, that means you've already put everything on the altar. Most of you came forward. God owns everything you have. But it's time for you to think sacrifice. Carry the cross just like Jesus did. It's time to say, I'll give more than I can give. I will serve. I will do whatever I have to do. It will not be a money issue. If God says, give it all, give it all. If He says, serve for free, I'll serve for free. If it says, go overseas, I'll go overseas. If He says, stay here and reach my people in Clay County, whatever God tells you, but it's sacrifice. And you're willing to go all the way and say, whatever it takes, I want to share the sacrifice that Jesus says. You know, if we suffer like Him, we will also reign with Him. If this is what God is calling you to do, you have an understanding now that your job is the sacrificial ministry. And God will tell you what it is. But you're making a decision today that you are willing to carry that cross. Because the cross is a lot of joy. You know, so the cross, the joy that was laid before Him, He endured the cross. Do you want great joy? Pick up your cross. Joy and sacrifice go hand in hand. We made a decision. My wife and I don't own a home yet. I wished I could have. I wish I had the money, but we gave up that dream a long time ago. I said, well, in heaven someday, maybe God will give us one. I mean, He will give us one in heaven, but maybe someday we'll have to wait. But we've sacrificed a lot, but we have the great joy of reaching hundreds of millions and new networks in the Philippines going up, in Hong Kong, in China going up, a media center, and in Mongolia, and in India, and in Europe, three networks, and South America. I tell you, I don't know how to explain the joy. I don't know. Who am I? I'm just a jungle pilot, barefoot Indian jungle pilot, raised in a bush. But God has given me the ability to make decisions that influence the entire world. It's a joy. I don't know. I can't wait to get to heaven. I wish it was tomorrow. I want to count the souls. I'm just thinking, cling, 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 cling. People never met before. They're going to be there because of the decision that my wife and I made. I invite you to make that same decision. And if God is keeping you and you're willing to do that, would you come forward for a special prayer of dedication? God is going to lead you beyond your comfort zone, and He's going to ask for everything, but He's going to take you along this path, and you're saying, I want to be on that path. And I want God to train me and teach me in the sacrificial ministry. Praise the Lord. You know the devil is scared here right now, right? Because the decisions that you're making, this is really penetrates into his area. He's really, really upset. So you need protection, don't you? Protection means you can't have anything in your house that belongs to the enemy. When you go home tonight, you got to clean those shelves. If there's anything there that belongs to the devil, get it off the shelf. Get it out from where it is and burn it. Destroy it, because as long as it's in your house, you have the key to your house and to your life. I don't have time to tell you, but I had one girl in Norway, and until she pulled off the last rock symbol off of her jacket, she was in severe back pain 24 hours a day. She was an atheist. She accepted the Lord. She destroyed her records, but she still had pain until she ripped off 8 symbols off of her jacket. When she ripped off the last one, she felt an electric go all the way through and out her feet, and the pain was gone. The devil was there torturing her, even though she accepted Christ. Why? Because he has rights to do that. The devil has rights into your life unless you get rid of everything that belongs to him, as far as your conscience is aware of. Of course, if you're married to somebody that doesn't share that, they have rights too. You can only deal with yours, what's in your life. Let us kneel down for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you've given us a wake-up call. 9/11 was a wake-up call. Even with all its terrible consequences, it was a wake-up call. And what's going to happen next, unfortunately, will be much, much worse than 9/11. And that might have been the last wake-up call. But right now, you've given us another wake-up call. You've given us a chance to understand the shortness of time. We don't know the day or the hour of the final crisis. Worse yet, the day or the hour of your second coming, which will be after that. What we do know is we are living at the very door of eternity. It's about to swing closed. And for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it will be the last opportunity. Because after that, the door will be closed to those who knew the truth and did not follow, and it will open up to those who never knew. But today, we have an opportunity, and we have knelt before you here. We accept, Lord, first of all, that you own everything we are. And now we accept, Lord, that we want you to carry us along the path of letting go and being involved in sacrifice so that you can carry out the work that you want. Our influence, our resources, our time now belong to you. Whatever you say, we want to obey. And every day as we get up, We ask you to help us to renew this pact and guide us, fill our minds with your with the spirit of prophecy, direct text that will help us to know how to act in certain circumstances. Fill our minds with biblical promises that will root us firmly in the foundation of our doctrines and beliefs, and help us to fill our minds with things that are spiritual in nature, from music to literature, things that will build us. We don't have time for chewing gum. It is time for solid nutrition. Lord, take out of our lives that which doesn't belong. Convict each of us. Take our things. Take us into sacrifice. Help us to shed everything as we go. Let down the cord from heaven. Help us to learn to hang on to that cord. Make it grow. May our faith grow so someday we can hang our entire lives and stake our lives on that experience. Pour out your Holy Spirit on each one that's here, every family represented here, our loved ones, our children, Lord. The young people today are taking over the vision of our church. This is wonderful. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Bless those young people. And we as adults, help us to encourage them and support them financially in their mission trips and their vision. Help us to be there for them with counsels and wise advice. Help us to participate with them. By all means, don't let us block them, but help us to guide them along the way so they don't make the same mistakes that we made when we were young. Be with our church leaders, our pastors, Lord. Many of them are still asleep. Some are partaking of the world liberally, and they have no message to give because they themselves are not converted. And Lord, at the very highest level down to the lowest level, there's a polarization happening. Please pour out your Holy Spirit understanding on your people, Lord. We pray for the 144,000. We don't know who they are, but we certainly would like to strive to be among them. We want to live for Christ. We want to follow the Lamb everywhere He goes. But we have a preparation process. None of us are there yet, but we want to be. So please take us. Help us, our character, to reflect your character. Help us to be rooted so we cannot be moved. You've heard our prayer. We thank you for hearing it in Jesus' name. Amen.